50. Now, already beating today's expected high at 61 degrees, so we'll have to see exactly how high we do get. But a warm 61 outside right now. KQEN News Time is 12:36.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly visit with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer to get an update on all things COVID-19. Talk about a lot of different aspects. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, first thing we want to hit, obviously on Friday, vaccinations began here with some of the staff at Mercy, and it's going on from there. One of the questions I got over the weekend was, who decides what classifications of folks are next to be vaccinated? Is that a federal decision, a state decision?
So the feds set out the most basic of guidelines. First round being healthcare workers and those who live in nursing facilities. The second round being those who are essential workers. And the third round being those who are over 65 with underlying conditions. However, in each of those groups, there's lots of people. And so the states and local people have some guidance in how those get distributed.
And I know under the essential category, I've seen a couple of different lists, but that can include a number of different categories of occupations.
Yes, the number of essential workers is large. So the feds put out a list of essential workers this summer, and that list is quite broad, including anybody involved in transportation, anybody involved in food, and anybody involved in wood products.
Interesting. And so we'll see how that goes. What have you heard so far from the vaccinations beginning locally? It seemed like there was a lot of anticipation.
Yes, there's been a lot of anticipation because it appears that this vaccine is going to be very effective and is going to be our way out of this pandemic. So the first two to get it were Dr. Robinson and Dr. Gray, both well-respected physicians in the community, and that's exactly as it should be.
So talk about both vaccines, because now we have a second one that's moving forward. Talk about how it differs from the first.
Right, so the two vaccines that are out there are the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. They're fairly similar in their construction. Those are messenger RNA or mRNA vaccines. That is a snippet of genetic material coated in a bit of fat. These get then injected into the body. They circulate in the bloodstream. And as they circulate in the bloodstream, the cells think this is a little fatty treat, eat it up, ingest the mRNA, which then makes a protein, and the body makes an immunologic response to that protein. So they're about the same. There are a couple of differences. The Pfizer vaccine requires ultra-cold storage. The Moderna vaccine requires just freezing. The Pfizer vaccine is less stable once refrigerated. The Moderna vaccine is more stable. So the Pfizer vaccine is going mostly to large hospitals that have these ultra-cold freezers. And the Moderna vaccine is mostly going to go to everyone else.
And that would obviously make it, on the Moderna side, for more places to be able to use it then.
Yes, we think almost any clinic that's able to give other vaccines is set up to give the Moderna vaccine. Now, the Pfizer vaccine is really quite different, but the Moderna vaccine, if anybody's giving, for example, the chickenpox vaccine, which has a similar storage requirement, they should be able to also do the Moderna vaccine.
So are more vaccines on the way?
Yes, there are several more on the way. There's one from AstraZeneca. There's one from Novavax and one for Johnson & Johnson. We've not yet seen the efficacy and the safety data on those three vaccines, so it's going to be a little while off, but we think those three and possibly others are going to be on the way.
One of the things that comes up, looking back historically, there are times when vaccines come out and later up the road, and sometimes it's even years before it's determined that there are side effects which don't necessarily manifest immediately. Talk about that potential for side effects, especially since this process has been so much quicker than normal.
Well, there's always the possibility for something coming out that's new and untoward. The last one that happened to was the rotavirus vaccine back in the early 2000s, where about one kid in 10,000 who got the vaccine got this thing called intussusception, where the bowels kind of slid inside each other, and it caused some problems. That was the last one we've had. So generally, vaccines have been very safe. This one actually has been studied on far more than the rotavirus vaccine was studied on, and thus we think it's likely to be safe. But we're always on the lookout for rare complications. One of the things that has been seen with the Pfizer vaccine is there are a number of people who have developed allergic reactions. Now, they've all recovered and done well, but that's going to be clearly something we pay attention to.
So let's talk about the COVID-19 cases locally. And I just looked at my email and I see the new numbers for today are out.
Yeah, so the new numbers for today are out. Overall, we've had a declining number of cases. So we peaked at about 300 cases over a two-week period. And now we're just right at the 200 per 100,000 mark, which would bring us out of the extreme range. You know, we're doing pretty well. When I look, I think for counties over 100,000, we have the lowest rate in the country. When you think of that, so you take every county that has over 100,000 people, I think we have the lowest rate of all of those counties. And maybe one or two I missed, but we have an incredibly low rate of disease. Now, it doesn't seem low to us, to those of us who are dealing with it every day, but we're really in Douglas County, we're doing incredibly well.
Now, today, 27 people with new positive test results and one more death to report as well.
Yes, the additional death is part of a nursing home outbreak which we've had in the community. We think both of the nursing home outbreaks are nearly ending, which will be good. However, deaths do lag. Many of the new positive cases today are from a screening clinic that was done over the weekend, and we're still trying to figure out what that all means.
And let's talk about that, because sometimes, like, for instance, yesterday we had 4, and then today we have 27. That's a big jump. Is it sometimes just the reality that when you have more testing going on a given day that the number of positives are going to rise?
Yes. So, for example, yesterday a bunch of the nursing homes did their required testing. So nursing homes are required to test on a regular basis, depending upon the level of disease in the community and the number of outbreaks they've had. And when they test several hundred people in a single day, you may certainly get some positives. We had no big testing events on Friday, and thus we had fewer positives on Saturday. When they had this big mass of tests, we did have some positives.
So overall, we are declining, and obviously that's good news. Are you seeing any differentiation in where these cases are coming from?
So in October, we had cases that were part of very large outbreaks related to parties or gatherings or, you know, the two nursing homes. And we've not seen that in December. Now we're seeing smaller 3 or 4 person outbreaks. While it's good not to see the big outbreaks, we're also still seeing workplace outbreaks and family outbreaks. And thus, we're really encouraging people to follow the advice that while at work, to be wearing your mask, and at home, to limit family gatherings.
Now, we're in the extreme risk category. If I understand the governor's guidelines, that will be in place at least until the end of the year, another week and a half or so. It looks like we're kind of on the bubble of either staying under extreme or maybe being able to drop a notch.
Yeah, I think we are right on the bubble. And when you're on the bubble, I don't like to predict.
And obviously, we got Christmas coming up as well, which introduces its own set of concerns.
And Christmas is a worry, right? Christmas is a time that we tend to gather with family and friends. We tend to go out of the area, and we tend to have those things where we hug and eat and tell jokes and whatever. All of those things, which are risk factors for spreading the disease. What I would say is we're right in an area now that if we could hold off on those activities or limit those activities over the next few weeks, I would hope we can get down to a level where schools can reopen up and we can open up some businesses, and that would really be my hope. You know, businesses have really taken it hard, but it's not because of the restrictions, I think. It's because of the disease. than when the disease is widespread. People are very nervous about going out to bars and restaurants. And what we need to do is get the level of disease down so that people will feel comfortable going back to those activities.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. County Commission Chairman Chris Boyce on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us going through all things COVID-19. And during the break, check my email and I see the state numbers are out. 846 new confirmed and presumptive cases and 6 more deaths in Oregon.
Yes, that's the number of cases in Oregon is going down. We think the number of cases in Oregon peaked in early December. Hospitalizations peaked last week, but I think we're going to still see some increased number of deaths over the next few weeks. So I think Oregon has done a really, really good job in controlling the disease. Oregon is now the fourth lowest state and one of the least affected current states. So overall, Oregon is doing a great job, and Douglas County is especially doing a great job. So I'd have people just hold on. This vaccine is going to get here. We're going to get past this, but we hope we're not going to have too much disease in the interval.
Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas, Marion counties, the numbers vary every day, but those are pretty much the four consistent counties with the most cases each day.
Indeed, the Portland area has really struggled, and it's really struggled because the disease is so widespread there. And so you can't even begin to get your hands around it. In addition, it has overwhelmed their health departments. So their health departments have not been able to go ahead and do as much contact tracing and as much case investigation as we've been able to do locally. And that's one of the advantages of keeping the case counts low. When the case counts are low, we can really track down these cases. If we had as many cases as they have in Multnomah County, or God forbid, as many as they have in, for example, a place like Tennessee, there'd be no way to stay on top of this.
Now, and as you mentioned that, though, I want to go back to our county numbers, because right now between isolation and quarantine, you have 733 people. That's a big number.
That is a big people. Many of those are related to an outbreak in a school where there were well over 200 cases and contacts. We don't think there have been any secondary spread, which is great, yet that you know, that's something we always worry about. And that's one of the problems about reopening schools, is that when you reopen schools, you are going to have cases in schools. And the cases of schools have had lots of contact.
So nationally, let's talk about the three-county comparison that you do each week.
Right. So basically what we've done is we've compared Douglas County to three other counties throughout the country. These counties are similar in population. They're similar in age, although Douglas County is the oldest. They are similar in that they're near a freeway, near an interstate, and that they have a mixture of industries supporting its base. So we look at Douglas County, which has had about 1,300 cases and 36 deaths and about 10 cases a day. And when we look at these other areas, they have far more disease. So, for example, Pennington County in South Dakota has had, where we've had 1,200 cases, they have 10,000 cases. Where we've had 36 deaths, they have 122. And while we have 10 cases a day per 100,000, they're having 63. And Twin Falls County in Idaho and Lowndes County in Georgia are similar. So we're about 5 times better than any of those other three counties.
What about nationally? Where are some of the hot spots right now?
Well, the hot spots right now are Tennessee. So Tennessee, when you look at the heat map, almost the entire state is that deep purplish red color. But unfortunately, there's disease in pretty much everywhere. Southern California is especially hard hit. They are beginning now to run out of ICU beds. We're also starting to see lots of disease in, still a lot of disease in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
Now, worldwide, let's talk about this mutation of COVID over in Britain and some of those surrounding areas. What can you tell us about that?
So every germ mutates. So every germ out there mutates, and they mutate at a certain rate. And certain germs mutate faster and others slower. Actually, this one mutates relatively slowly, but it's also related to how much disease is out there. So there are lots of cases of disease out there. We think these mutations may have started actually in the mink population. So mink, those little ferret-like animals, get this virus like humans do. They spread it among themselves. They tend to live in these huge mink farms where there's hundreds of thousands or millions of animals. Spread the disease widely. When you have that much disease in one barn, you can easily get mutations. And they think some of these mutations may have started in the mink farms. Now Britain and South Africa are reporting these mutations, which seem to make the virus more transmissible and really worryingly, more deadly, especially among young people. Now, we don't know about that yet. We don't know the specifics. Just as we were coming on there, I saw a note from Dr. Fauci said, let's pay careful attention to this, but no need for any changes right now. So we'll have to look carefully and see. The best way to prevent mutations is to have not very much disease out there. When you have a million sick mink, you are going to get mutations. You have to keep the number of cases low, and you have to keep the number of the crowding low, especially in people with new people or mink with new cases.
And so there around the London area and some of the other adjoining areas, pretty severe lockdown restrictions in place.
Yeah, the Brits are really quite worried about this. And so they really had instituted quite the lockdown around this. And the Brits were also interesting because they were the first to give the vaccine. And so this is a race to get enough people vaccinated before this mutation, if it is as serious as they think, takes hold.
Now, one of the concerns, of course, is travel. I know there's already been some talk today about folks coming in from Britain, for example. France locked their borders. People trying to get from Britain to France now can't. And that gets very political, ultimately, in terms of whether you put restrictions in place or not. But that certainly, it looks like it's turning into a big concern.
Well, travel restrictions are always very controversial. However, people can choose not to travel voluntarily. And we know that in the U.S. that some of the travel is business related. Some of the travel is essential. But most of the times we've seen people get infected, the travel has been totally voluntary. It's been just, I want to go on a trip. And they come back from an area where there's more disease, and then they bring it here. So I'd mentioned Tennessee a little bit ago. And somebody who visited Tennessee came back and brought the disease here to Douglas County. So again, if you don't have to travel, please, please don't travel. And so I had a new grandbaby, and I would love to go back east to see my new grandbaby, but we're going to hold off until this pandemic is in a bit better control.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Let's hit the Christmas concerns you have again.
So the Christmas concerns are for out-of-state travel or out-of-area travel and mixing of multiple family groups, because we know that the people are most contagious in the day or so before they have symptoms. So you may go to grandma's house, feel perfectly well, and yet be quite contagious, give it to grandma. That is not the kind of Christmas present you want to give to a loved one.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, and of course, you're probably doing another Facebook event soon, too.
So we'll do another Facebook Live again tomorrow night, and so 6 o'clock on Facebook Live.
All right. Thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.